I'm excited to have Brother Cox. I'm always excited to have Brother Cox. He is a good man of God, been faithful for many, many years, built a great church in a little town. And I don't know anybody that works harder than Darrell Cox. I mean that. I mean day and night. He travels a lot, preaches meetings, and runs his own bus route, bus director, and a faithful soul winner. I thank God for him, appreciate his friendship. And he just always is a blessing, delivers his soul, and he'll be a help to us tonight. And I appreciate that. So we're going to have Brother Netterville come and sing for us. And then on the heels of that, we will have Brother Cox come and bring the opening message.
My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea, down deep in the sea, so deep they shall never be brought against me, down deep in the sea, down, down. Sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. My soul is rejoicing, my sins are all gone, down deep in the sea. I praise the dear Lord who has cast everyone down deep in the sea, down, 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 down in the depths of the sea, the sins of the past, praise God, are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. From sin's condemnation, I am now released, down deep in the sea. And all of the dread of the past is now ceased, down deep in the sea, down, 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 down in the depths of the sea, the sins of the past are all gone at last.
Tell you right now, that's good singing, isn't it? I've enjoyed all of the singing and the preaching these 2 days. It's been great. You know, I come to be a blessing, but I've received a blessing. I've received more blessing than I could ever be. And I thank you, Brother Angel and Brother Coral, for letting me be a part of this meeting. And this is wonderful, and help. It'll help anybody if they come looking for help, wouldn't it? And thank you for the beautiful room over there at the motel and for the goodies that was put in the room, Brother Todd picking me up and all of it, all those of you that sing. your church has done a great job with this conference, and Brother Angel has just done such a good job. I mean, wonderful. It's been good. The meal today is great. And I'll tell you now, the only thing I see wrong with this meat, man, I wasn't expecting snow, I'll be honest with you. Hey, I got off that airplane yesterday, and I said, man, I have done messed up. And I thought about my good coat that was in the closet in Mocksville. And I said, buddy, it ain't going to do you a bit of good in Mocksville. And then somebody said, it's supposed to snow tomorrow. And they was right. You know, they was planting potatoes when I left down our way. Seriously, they planting gardens. And it's about warm enough for some of them to start coming up. But, hey, it's still snowing here in Illinois. Amen. But thank you for letting me be a part. I appreciate everything. All the messages spoke to my heart. I took down notes on all of it. It's been a blessing. Well, I want you to take your Bible and look in the book of 1 Samuel in the 20th chapter. Let me just say this. Revival fires is so important to our country and to our independent Baptist brethren. It's so important because this Brother Coral in his paper and this conference takes the right stand in the right way. That's right. And it's stand right. And do right. And I appreciate it. And I appreciate your church and Revival Fires. I'm for it. I've been taking it for years. I urge all you preachers to take it and sign up to get it coming into your church. And it'll be good for your people to read it. They won't read anything you'll ever have to worry about doctrinally or anything. It'll get them off. It'll help them. It'll encourage them. Because, you know, people nowadays, they're gonna listen to things and they're gonna read, and this paper will be good. It'll be something good they can read along, of course, with their Bible, but something they can read that'll encourage them to stay in the old time way. See, in 1 Samuel chapter number 20, and down in verse number 16, if you'd stand with me, if you're able. As we look at these verses, it said, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan calls David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then shalt thou go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in thine hand, and shalt remain by the stone of Ezel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on this side as though I shot at the mark. And behold, I'll send a lad, saying, go find out the arrows. If I expressly say to the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away, and is touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king set him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even on a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which is the second day of the month, that David's place was empty, and Saul said to Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to eat meat yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother He hath commanded me to be there. Now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore cometh he not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said, thou son of a perverse and rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? Now, I'm going to speak to you tonight on this thought. Will thy seat be empty? Will thy seat be empty? And let's pray. Now, Father, I pray that tonight, Lord, you will help me to be a blessing in this building tonight to these good folks that are assembled here. Some of the best people, Lord, in the world are here tonight. And I sure thank you for the pastor of this church, whom I love dearly, and Brother Coral that I love, and these other good preachers. God, help me to be a blessing to them and to the good people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. And, of course, I won't go a lot into the story, but you know about David, how that he was instrumental in going up when the army of Israel was fighting against the Philistines, and David killed Goliath. And he was just a young boy that went up there and saw the giant cursing the army of God and cussing God. And so David said, I'll go and fight that giant. He said, God helped me to kill that bear that came out on my dad's sheep. And he helped me kill that lion. And by the help of God, I'll kill that giant. And so David took his sling after he had rejected Saul's armor and all of that. And David went down and killed him. Well, it looked like a great victory, and it was. And it was wonderful until word got back into town and the women got their pencils and pens and began to start writing songs about the victory. And they started back into town after the battle was over and Israel had won and God had helped them. And now they're singing as the soldiers are riding into town from the great victory of the battle. And Saul loved that first verse. He loved it because they were singing about him being, you know, the king and winning the battle. But verse 2 attributed more credit to David than it did to Saul. And the Bible said Saul eyed David. You see, Saul wasn't right when the battle started. He wasn't right when it started. So the problem didn't start here. It just festered and got worse. And so Saul wanted, after this happened, he wanted somebody that could play the harp. And so they started seeking out who could make beautiful music on the harp. And the same man that was a great warrior in the battle was also a great musician. So David comes in. And you know, Saul was trying to get rid of his jealousy and his evil spirit by music. And music's a wonderful thing. But he really didn't need music. He needed a message. And he needed an altar to get right with God on. He needed to get right with God. But he wanted to put a Band-Aid on where he needed surgery. And so he had laid back in his recliner with his headset on and listened to David play the harp. And it soothed it over, but the next day it was right back. And finally, one day Saul said, you're not going home, David. I need you down here. And he hired him and kept him there. And then he tried to figure out a way to get rid of him. When Saul's boy come in, Jonathan, right away, Jonathan and David become the best of friends. Every way Saul turned, God was putting Saul's face right in this thing. And Jonathan loved David. He gave him nearly everything he had. Gave him his sword, gave him that they become the best of friends. Well, God's blessing David. And he's blessing David. And Saul was afraid of David. But then it got to where his jealousy got so bad that every day when old Saul would come to the breakfast table or the supper table, he'd come with a spear in his hand. And you know, you ain't no frame to be running a country when you got that much hate in you. And you ain't going to run nothing. It's running you. And so he'd come in, and if things didn't go his way, he'd pin you to the wall when you're supposed to be enjoying a meal. You know, it'd be tough to enjoy eating your grits and your eggs if a man's sitting across the table with a spear in his hand. Amen. You know, but anyhow, that's the way it was. And so David knew that Saul hated him and wanted him dead. So they was getting ready to have a meal here when the king was going to eat meat. And David went to Jonathan and said, "Your dad's got hatred. He's going to kill me. And I want to ask a leave of absence." He said, "But you're going to be missed." He said, "You'll be missed." And then he told him in verse number 18, Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow's the new moon, and thou shalt be missed. Thy seat will be empty." In other words, those seats around that table, they had them numbered and who was supposed to be in them. Well, when the king looked and somebody wasn't in them, he's going to find out why they weren't there. And by the way, the king is looking down on us to see if we're in our seat where we're supposed to be. But anyhow, David told Jonathan, "I believe your dad wants me dead." And he said, "I'll tell you what, David, you go out by the stone of Ezel there, and I'm going to come out with my bow, and I'll have a little boy with me, won't know anything about what's going on. But if I shoot my arrow and it lands on this side of you, that means everything's okay. You come in." He said, "But if I shoot the arrows over your head, that means you need to go." And you know, Brother Angel, there's sometimes when arrows are shot over your head that there's nothing you can do about it. You know, I got a message on when the arrows go over your head and there's nothing you can do about it. David couldn't fix this. He wished he could. Sometimes there are going to be some things in your life that are going to be arrows that will go over your head. There ain't a thing you can do about it. And these arrows were shot beyond, and he gave the little boy his arrow and bow and sent him on. And then David and Jonathan embraced, and he knew this is it. This is where it's going to divide. And Jonathan is, in a sweet way, loving way, trying to be respectful to his dad and love him, but he's trying to make peace. He was a peacemaker. He was trying to bring them together. And verse 27 says, "And it came to pass on the morrow, which is the second day of the month, that David's place was empty." David has fled. He's gone. And then we see where Saul comes to the meal with a javelin in his hand and tries to pin his own son to the wall. See? And if David hadn't have fled, it would have been him. You see what I'm saying? But David had enough about him, and God let him know that his place was to be empty. Now, saying all of that, I want to show you tonight there's things that makes people's seats to become empty. First of all, may I say that strife causes seats in churches to be empty. Now, that ought not to be the case. Strife in churches. Brother, let me tell you something. What we need to do, you know the Bible said in Proverbs 13:10, "Only by pride cometh contention." And you know, we need to work together. That early church, it said they had all things common and were in one accord. And that don't mean they're riding Hondas either. That meant they was on the same note. They believed the same thing. They're pulling for the same Lord. They're preaching the same gospel of the death, burial, and the resurrection. They were going the same way. And you know what? There was revival in that church, and God was blessing them because they was getting along, and they loved one another, and they had a common cause. And my friend, may we in the church today get over little old piddly junk that don't mean a hill of beans. You know, most churches never have trouble over doctrine. It's almost never over doctrine. Most of the time, it's some little personal something on, they didn't call on me to sing, or they didn't put me in this, or they didn't ask me to do this. We're going to move on. Let me tell you something, my dear friends. We need to die to ourselves and say, this thing's bigger than me. And brother, we need to stick in here and not get upset about things and not divide and fuss with one another. Let me tell you something. Brother, we're going to give an account to God for that kind of stuff. And brother, God gets no honor nor no glory out of it. And the only thing it does is cause division and hurt. And brother, it ought not to happen. But that was the problem here. Strife between King Saul and David. It's out of David's control. David would have gladly forgave the king. But brother, you couldn't do anything with him. You said, what was the problem? Pride. And jealousy. And let me tell you something. We need to get rid of that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. They ain't none of us nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God. That's all we are. If I got what was coming to me, I'd be in hell with my back, bro. Let me tell you, I sometimes pinch myself to say that God would let me do anything for Him. Anything. Much less be a Baptist preacher, preaching the old-fashioned gospel of Christ. And, brother, let me tell you, I don't need to be fussing and fighting with other preachers that's trying to get it done, nor my members, you see. And members don't need to be fighting with one another. You get in here and plug in, and you don't let strife cause your seat to be empty, you see. Then let me just say, sin causes seats to be empty. You know, Saul's seat was fixing to be empty. You know why? It started back there in 1 Samuel. Well, really not chapter 15. You go on back when he tried to do the work of the priest. See, he got too big for his britches. You know, there's a time, Brother Coral, where Samuel told Saul, when thou was little in thine own eyes, we could do something with you. But you got to where you thought you could just do whatever you want to, and you stepped in and tried to do the work of the priest, you was out of order. That's right. And let me tell you something. He done that, and then whenever he got marching orders to go down and fight them Amalekites and take the whole crowd and kill them all and bring back no war trophies, he come back wagging a bunch of sheep and a bunch of oxen, and brought old Agag back with a rope around his neck and led him in the camp. And Samuel walked out and said, what's this lowing of the oxen and bleeding of the sheep? And who's this? He said, well, I brought back these sheep and these oxen for sacrifice. And he said, you've disobeyed God. And he said, hath the Lord as great delight in sacrifice as he does in obedience? The answer to that's no. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And old Samuel got his sword out, and he took old Agag to the woodshed in his bloodshed. He killed him. He cut him up in pieces. And he told him, he said, now God has took his hand off of you. And you know, Samuel loved Saul. He wept all night over him. He cried. He was brokenhearted over what had happened. But God had put his hand now on David. Did he not? You see, sin. And then sin emptied the seat of Absalom at David's house. When he got where he thought he knowed more than his dad. You see. And he didn't. And I'm going to tell you. Absalom, he tried to take over the kingdom. And he got a bunch of men. It says in the book. He got some men that knew not nothing. They didn't know nothing. And they just had enough sense to hold up a sign, about like some of his crowd does now. It's running through the streets, you know. They couldn't even read what's on it. And they're going through the streets saying, Absalom for king. And Absalom was saying, oh, that I was the king. Let me tell you something. Anybody that wanted to be the king didn't need to be the king. And if he had good sense, he wouldn't have went against his daddy. But let me tell you something. David was not afraid of Saul, and David wasn't afraid of Absalom. Any man got a bear head and a lion head and a giant's head hanging on his wall, he ain't afraid of you. He could have handled any of them. And by the way, if David didn't want to fight them, he had a bunch of men around him called David's mighty men. Let me tell you something. Them men was something. To say tough is not even to... That ain't even in the same category. They like to fight. And they'd take you out. They didn't care who you was. All David had to do was give the word. Matter of fact, he had to stop them sometimes. That one was going to kill old Saul when he was laying there in the ditch. Remember that? He said, "I'll get him." And David said, "No, don't do that. No, that's God's anointed." But that man would have cut his head off in a New York second and furnished the hat. Amen. He'd have cut his head off and been done with it and slept good after he'd done it. But you see, Absalom one day hung by his long hair in the trees because of his rebellion against God and against his daddy. And you know what? It broke the heart of David. David wept because Absalom's seat was empty. He wept because Saul's seat was empty. My friend, let me tell you something. When somebody's seat's empty, it don't please people that love people. You know, David, he said, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God had been me instead of you." David loved him. But sin emptied his seat. Let me say this. Sometimes sickness causes seats to be empty. I've got some people that's in heaven that I'll meet on the other side that I don't understand that they were good workers in my church and serving God. And some of them got cancer. And God reached down and took them out. And their seat's empty. And sometimes I look up through that glass darkly and can't figure it out. Why the Lord done it, but this is not my church, it's His church.
That's right.
And this is not my work, it's God's work.
Amen.
And God took some of them out and took them on. And my friend, let me tell you, one of these days, sickness might take my seat. But if it does, that'll be okay. I'm God's man, and He can do with me whatever He wants to do. But you know, sickness, we've seen sickness empty seats for this COVID thing, didn't we? You know, some of it I'm sure was necessary, but there's a whole lot of it. Listen. There's people young and stout and big enough to eat hay and graze that there wasn't nothing wrong with them. They got out of church over that thing that I never could figure it out. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but it never did stop me from going nowhere I wanted to stay, go. And the only time I wore a mask when it told me to. I mean, and I ain't saying that I couldn't get it. I could. But I didn't. But I wouldn't go stay home. I'd rather be in church. And we got some people that had health issues that real bad health. Some cancer with no, immune system. I said, "Hey, you need to stay home. Don't come. I don't want you to get sick." But there's some people that sorriness emptied their seats. Not sickness. Sorry. Sorry is a southern word for backslid. I just wanted to put all S's in there. Are y'all with me? I'm simply saying, brother, sickness emptied old Lazarus' seat. Around Mary and Martha's table, didn't it? But Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, brother, one of these days, Revelation 21, 1 through 4 said, there'll be no more. And there'll never be anybody's seat empty because of sickness. Amen. We've had it and we'll have more of it. But I'm simply saying, that sickness, empty seat. But let me say, straying out of the will of God, empty seats. You know, Elimelech and Naomi, down there in the first chapter of the book of Ruth, The Bible said a famine hit Bethlehem, Judah. Brother Gomez preached last night on that bacon bread, fresh bread. You know something? Look here. If God could feed Elijah down there by that brook with ravens and biscuits from heaven's kitchen and put a water hole in the middle of nowhere down there and feed him two meals a day, you think God's going to let me starve if things get tough down here? No. God would rather put the angels on half rations than he would to let one of his youngins starve. That's right. Hey, you know something? When I got to confess it, I'm not a great man of faith. When that thing hit and that they started saying, you know, churches, people can't get in the church and all that, first thing I thought about, you know, man, it's going to hurt us financially. And you know what? We're just like you was. Our offerings went up, and I got money from people I never heard of. That's the truth. I mean, there's people sending me money, and I thought, man, it's working out pretty good here. Hey, let me tell you something. But I'm going to tell you, if you think God can't keep His church going, and if he can keep the church going and God can keep all His children fed, do you think God's going to let me starve or go? Look, brother, I'm afraid God's people sometimes takes off too quick for something else when things get hard. Best thing to do is sit still and watch God. Let me tell you something. When Jesus is out there preaching to 5,000 men besides women and children, and the disciples walked up and said, Lord, it's getting late. You need to send this crowd away. He said, they'll faint in the way. And here come old Andrew with that little boy. He said, what you got there? And he said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, but what are they among so many? And let me tell you, I'll tell you what they was. They was a whole lot when Jesus got a hold of it. He fed them and it said, and they all ate till they were full. And they took up 12 baskets of leftovers to give all them disciples a basket apiece to remind them what God can do. Amen. And let me tell you something. If Naomi and Elimelech would have just sat still, but they took off to the washpot down in Moab and got down there, and she buried Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. Is that right? And let me tell you, when she come back, and she did come back, and I know God let her rebound, and God worked it all out. And it turned out to be a blessing. But brother, let me tell you, there was still something to pay in that. There's 3 funerals down there. And let me tell you something. Straying out of God's will cause your seat to be empty. And let me tell you something. It's a whole lot easier to keep your seat sometimes than it is to get it back. If you don't believe that, get in an airport when it's busy. I watched an old boy yesterday, and he was sort of guarding his seat, and I stand over just watching. And that guy up, and I watched him. He's going to the bathroom. I seen him going that way. And as soon as he left, a woman come and sit down right in that seat, and I said, buddy, you better be ready to stand when you get back. That seat was empty, and now somebody's in it. Let me tell you something. When you jump out of God's will, it ain't as easy to get back in that seat. You better stay where you are. You know, there's been some times I'm not as spiritual as these other preachers, a lot of them. I know that. Brother Carter, there's been some times in my ministry that I got so discouraged that there's times I got down and defeated. And I thought, you know what, I ought to just resign and preach meetings or go somewhere and do something. You know something that always kept me in there? Being afraid of my seat being empty, straying out of God's will. And I said, you know what? I get to reading some of these things. I said, oh boy, you better sit in your seat. You better stay put. You know why? If thy seat's empty, sometimes you can't ever get back where you was at one time. Thy seat will be empty. And there's was. And it took about 10 years for her to come back. And when she come back, she said, is that Naomi? She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. The Lord sent me out full. Oh, wait a minute. I thought you was empty. Yeah, we thought we was too till we got out of our seat.
Yeah, that's true.
We thought we was too, but our seat was a whole lot better seat than what we thought we had. And let me tell you something. You better stay in God's will. Yes. I was on the phone this morning with a man. Listen, said, preacher, what can we do to get back? You know something? Of course, you can get back in fellowship with God, but there's always consequences to pay when you jump out of the will of God. Then let me say this right here. I'm trying to hurry. You know, sorrows and heartaches will empty seats. Sorrows. Sometimes people get bitter over storms, Brother Smith, like you preached on last night. Some people, you know, they get sort of crossways. When a storm comes, or maybe somebody's taken out of their family, or they lose something dear to them, the job they lose, and they get bitter and they say, God shouldn't have done this. Let me tell you, best thing to do is let God be God. But Job's wife said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? Sounds like she might have been getting a little bitter, didn't it? And Job said, you speak like a foolish woman. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, that's not it. And Job, by the way, stayed in his seat, paid off, didn't it? Sorrows, heartaches can empty seats. See? You know, old Eli the priest, when he had sorrows, it emptied his seat when his boy got killed in it in the battle. He fell off that wall. Remember that? And break his neck. I could go on about things. You know, then let me say this real quickly. I'm just giving you the outline. You preachers can preach it. You know, sitting down in dangerous places will empty your seat. You know, old Eutychus sat down in a place where he shouldn't have been, really, in my opinion. Now, he might not have got a good seat. But you know what? I'm afraid of heights. And you know, to sit in an open window, three stories up, I might look like I come to town on a load of pumpkins, but I'm not going to do that. If the window's open, I'm not sitting down in it. I want it closed. You say, why? Because I might do, Brother Smith, the same thing Eutychus done. He fell asleep, but Paul was long preaching. It tells us that, didn't it? Long preaching. And Eutychus fell asleep. But you know what he done? He sat down in a dangerous place. An open window three stories up. My opinion, that's a dangerous place. But sometimes dangerous places are sitting down with people you don't need to be sitting with. Am I telling it right? Yeah. Sitting down with liberals and modernists and compromisers. Don't run with that. Well, you said it won't hurt me. Yes, it will. It'll rub off on you. Getting with that wrong crowd. See? And brother, let me tell you something. You can't run with skunks and not stink. That's putting it down there where you can get it, ain't it? Brother, let me tell you something. It's going to rub off on you. And let me tell you, Eutychus sat down in a bad spot. And because of it, he fell to his death. Thank God there was a man there that had the power of God that raised him back up. God raised him up. But let me tell you, he sat down in a bad place. Psalm 1 tells us about that, doesn't it? And 2 Corinthians 6, see. Let me say, self-pity will cause your seat to be empty. Oh, Elijah went up on Mount Carmel and prayed down fire. And then he took all them false prophets out there and killed all them. What a victory. Huh? But then he got a message from Jezebel, didn't he? Tomorrow, you'll be like my prophets. You'll be dead. And you know what he done? He hit Highway 70 out of town, running as hard as he could go. And he got to thinking, man, I've been faithful in this thing. And he was thinking and he was running. And he was running. And he had another servant with him, running with him. If you read that thing, I ain't got time to turn over and read it. But in that 19th chapter, it said, and he left his servant there. He got by himself. You know, it ain't good for you to. There's a time you need to be with yourself. But you need somebody like this around to encourage you. You need somebody to say, oh man, look, you can make it. Come on, Elijah. Remember what God did up there? But you know what? He left that person and he sat out under a juniper tree. You've heard that expression. And you know what he did? He sat on that juniper tree and said, it's enough. Let me die. Was that a pity party or what? Now, I'm talking about a great man. Let me die. And then God said, Elijah, what doest thou here? In other words, what you doing down yonder? What are you doing on that tree? God baked him a cake and sent a canteen of water down there. And the Bible said he ran 40 days in the strength of that thing. Man, it must have been loaded with sugar, wasn't it? Amen. But you know something? Look, self-pity just about ruined him. There's so many things. Let me say, soul-winning opportunities that's passed up empty seats. You know, don't pass them up. Look for people you can talk to. I witnessed to a woman at the motel today and was able to lead her to the Lord over there. You know, if you get a chance to talk to somebody, it's real easy. You just reach in your pocket and ease a track out there and say, let me give you something good. Soul-winning opportunities that's banished. Brother, it leaves seats empty. Let me tell you, I wonder how many people could have been won to Christ, but somebody just passed it up. And because of it, that person seat will be empty in eternity. Brother, let me tell you, we better think about that. You better think about that. Then let me say, salvation neglected empty seats. Old Judas, he had a seat with the disciples, but he never had a seat in heaven. That's sad to me. He's a church member, but he wasn't saved. And he got so close that he walked up and planted a kiss on the door of heaven and died and went to hell. That's getting close, ain't it? But he never got saved. I'm through preaching, but listen, one more. Now, you can make a series out of this thing. The snatching away at the rapture is going to empty some seats. That's what I want to empty mine right there. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. I do not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even them also shall God bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise God, comforting words. Yeah, the rapture's going to snatch us out. One of these days that trumpet's going to sound. Brother Green, I hope I just come out of the Cracker Barrel. When it does, I'd like to be standing on a porch trying to find a toothpick. And that trumpet sound and head right on out. And then go to that judgment seat. I ain't looking forward to that, but I'll tell you what, that marriage supper, I'm looking to that, ain't you? Hey, I'm glad I got a seat at the supper. Let me tell you something tonight. Will thy seat be empty? Thy seat will be empty. You know, one of these days my seat will be empty. One day it will be empty. But I want to stay wide open till it is. I want to serve till it is. You stay busy and stay in fellowship with God. But this is no time, really, to even let up a little bit here. Man, we're in the fourth quarter of this thing. So, stay in your seat. Keep going. Stay on that bus route. Stay in that Sunday school class. Keep doing what you're doing for God. and ask God for strength and fill you with the Spirit and stick by the stuff. Because listen, the Lord one day is going to empty our seat. But I want the Lord to empty mine and not me empty mine. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll use this thing tonight. Lord, I know that, Lord, I tried to cover too much there probably, but Lord, I pray they get the idea and they can see it. And God, I pray Brother Coral comes, use him, God, to speak to our hearts. And thank you for what we've heard out of all these other preachers. Lord, I've been blessed. I've been helped through the singing, the preaching. Thank you for Brother Angel, this great church. Thank you for revival fires. God, work on us tonight and help us, we pray. And we'll thank you for in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.
You know, if you've been around conferences, going to meetings, get your Bible signed. I got Bibles back there in my office that I got signed by so many different preachers. You open it up now and you look at it. And how many of their seats are empty? And not all of them for the right reason. You look at that sometimes and you go, whoa, boy, boy. That one wasn't for a good reason. That one for a good reason. I don't want my seat to be empty like that. Brother Woodward and I pray together every Sunday morning on the phone. Who gets to pray depends on who prayed the previous Sunday. We play make it, take it. If you ever shot basketball, you know what I'm talking about. Make it, take it. You shoot, as long as you make it, you keep shooting. When you miss, the other guy shoots. The only criteria to make it is both churches have to meet budget. Doesn't matter how many are saved or baptized. What matters is both churches have to make budget. We have fun with that. But a lot of times we will finish our conversation on Sunday morning with two words to each other. Finish strong. Finish strong. I don't want my seat to be empty. I don't want somebody to open up their Bible someday and see a place where I signed it and say, oh my. Oh my. Stay in your seat. Thank you, Brother Cox. Amen. Tremendous message for us tonight.